Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Aussie Rugby Show in podcast form. If you're new to the setup, you can stay on top of and be a part of what's happening with the show simply by following Rugby Pass and the Aussie Rugby Show on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And bit of a language warning in this week's episode. Enjoy.
This is the Aussie Rugby Show brought to you by Extra Hop Stops Breaches 84% faster. I'm Louise Ransom, joined as always by Drew Mitchell, Stephen Hoyle, Sean Maloney. Guys, we've dragged you, Sean,
we're
away
back
from
in the
Manly.
East. Yes. We're back in the East. I'm happy to be here, though, because we are here with the Bondi Breakers, who are a junior team. They're the smallest team in the eastern suburbs, under sixes through to eights, and they've also got the composite under nine team with the Breakers Wallaroos. So great to be here back in the East.
They do good things for a small club.
Fantastic.
They're playing the same comp as Coogee, Clavelli, Bays.
Punch well above their weight.
Well above the weight.
Bondi people, you know. Well, they're not all hipsters. You know, fighting.
Just hardworking. That's what we are over here in the East.
Certainly. Guys, what got you from the weekend? Let's start with that, Stephen Hoyles.
Look, there's been a little bit of, you could say, turmoil over the years at Rugby Australia, but nothing compared to what's going on in Georgian rugby at the moment. That's what got me. The vice president of Georgian rugby allegedly...
I don't think you need to say allegedly.
Okay, he shot a player with a gun. Shot someone.
The guy's in hospital.
Yeah, the guy's in hospital.
Recovering well after surgery.
So VP Mirab shot the former Sevens coach for many reasons, Ramez.
Yeah.
What was it over?
Oh, I think it might be budget issues. That's what I thought initially. Yeah, maybe.
Seems fair.
Extra night on a waitress, things like that. Yeah. I don't know.
Just imagine Rob Clark walking around RA just with a shotgun going, oi, how's that bottom line looking?
I always thought just playing in France, the Georgians were ones you have to worry about, and this confirms it.
What got you?
What got me was, look, we didn't get to see Razor Robinson dance after the Crusaders won the New Zealand Super Rugby earlier this year, but... we got to see James Slipper dancing with the Brumbies one. Yeah, up there. A couple of like old dad moves. Like
everyone's got their own style. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I loved it. He was up there in the on the table in the middle of the team and all the players.
As well.
Yeah, just dropping it low. Yeah. I see that a fair bit on a Saturday night.
A lot of shoulder movement.
Yeah, there's a fair bit of momentum as well. The slips. You got me on the weekend,
He was hypnotic. You know what got me, team? Balmain, the Muzzled Wolves, champions at the weekend. We visited them. Ooh. The Savers. We visited them the other week. Champions as well. We're leaving magic dust everywhere we go.
I do say we're at East Club tonight, Tuesday night, ahead of their big game against Penrith this week. They're not even trained on Tuesday night. I mean, if anyone out in Penrith is watching, fire up. They're not even training this week because that's what they think they're going to. They don't need to train Thursdays to beat Penrith.
Excuse me. What we're big over here in the East is about balance, and the boys are down there at Bondi Public Bar, and they're doing some hard work there at the bar, just of course COVID safe and compliant, sitting down, but smashing plenty of tins and getting to know each other. Yep. So in those hard moments,
they're
when
15 rounds
the
injury.
Emus are, yeah, but
I hope Henry Schaaf sees this and gets the boys fired up for a game on Saturday.
You can't overlook John Muggleton, the importance of balance.
I like the idea too. Before we get what got you, Lou, we can agree that the Australian New Zealand competitions are now done for Super Rugby.
Yeah.
Time to flash back to episode 4 of the Aussie Rugby Show. We owe this guy a little something something.
Oh, here we go.
What we should do is we should all select one runner in that competition. Highlanders might struggle a little bit, so one of the other four. And then if your team wins, you get shouted lunch. Like the other three have got to shout your lunch.
So there you go. We all owe you a little something, a little bite to eat somewhere.
I've changed my mind on what I wanted. We were talking about it before. We've all decided that instead of you guys buying me lunch, we'd just prefer you to get Botox one episode next week. Is that okay? Maybe a filler in the cheeks and a little bit of a puff in the lips.
Don't talk about it like you know what you're talking about.
Lou, what do you got?
What got me was seeing our Aussie Sevens girls around the place in NRLW jerseys.
Yep.
Hurt a little bit, but kind of pleased for them that they're at least being able to play some footy with the Sevens circuit not happening anytime soon. Charlotte Kaslick in a Roosters jersey. Ellie Green's gone to the Warriors.
Vani Pleady too. They're going to destroy that competition.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about.
I think it's great too, because a lot of people, I mean, I saw a lot of the comments in some of their posts talking about, you know, we're losing the girls to rugby league. Like, the girls will come back to rugby union, to the Sevens program. I think the women's rugby league competition only goes over like 3 weeks long.
Yeah.
It's a short thing that they'll be able to go hone their skills, learn a new craft to some degree, but also keep them match fit and also perhaps even be able to earn a little bit of cash because the funding's been slashed there at Rugby Australia.
And as Sean said when we spoke about it a few weeks ago, you hope that it actually shows, you know, some league fans too how good these girls are. Drag them, their eyes back over to watching them playing sevens. That can only be a good thing.
Whoever is a first to line up against Ellie Green, good luck.
Look, you can look at all the other female contact sport in Australia, and you can hand on heart say New Zealand rugby is dominating men's rugby, but the best contact sport the best performing contact sport in Australia is by far and away women's rugby. It's phenomenal. Like, it's so it's played at such a high skill level and high pace, and I know that your Super W needs to improve and spend more and more time to get to that level. AFLW needs to do the same thing. They're behind the women's rugby, and I think that's what's so good about these girls going over. We'll get to see them play against probably the next best, which is the league girls, and I can't wait to see how they go.
And we may even get a few of the good rugby league girls come over and want to play and see how good these girls, one, prepare for the game, but also go out there and execute as well in a new sport. And it might drag a few of the better rugby league girls over to the sevens.
Super Rugby rocks and diamonds. The Brumbies, champions of Super Rugby AU for 2020. It was a great game on the weekend. Let's start with diamonds, Hoylesy.
Oh, diamonds. I think the Brumbies winning. I think they've been the best side in Australian rugby for, 3 years now, maybe four. They've been pretty consistent. I thought all along they deserved to win this title, but they probably dropped form a couple of weeks leading, so probably gave a few people a few concerns. But, the way they've played over the last few years, I think they deserve to be champions, and the Reds, they did pretty well to get there and match for make the game really competitive. And what was, the competition was probably better than I expected. I really enjoyed it, especially towards the latter part of the year. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought the Reds did a really good job. I mean, it was just a great game. Clearly the two best teams were playing out.
It was a good game, mate.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I mean, you lose Patea, you lose Salakai Loto, you get Denguno in the bin for 10 minutes, and you're still in there with a shot at the back end. Like, you've done a decent job. They won't be satisfied with that, but... from a spectator's point of view, it was a good one. The thing I liked as well, one part that really got me, a little diamond in that game from the Reds, was, again, my boy Filippo Dungunu.
Yes.
That little offload.
Dummy offload.
The dummy, just to hold on to it, bring it back in. Like, Fraser McWright owes him, like, a drink. Like, whatever his drink of choice is, I don't know what he does drink, but he owes him one of those, because how can you grasp that?
Yeah. How can you grasp... Like, but how can you have the smarts to be able to even do the dummy? I've never seen that before.
No, the
Fiji 17, like, never seen that
almost
before.
Full extension to bring it back in and then go again.
And also to stay in the field of play as well. Like, he was, like, tightrope down there on the sideline.
You think he'll start Test for the Wallabies?
Depends. I mean, I think they'll start Marika Korobete, but then I don't know if they might go safe and get, like, a Reece Hodge or a Daniel Petty,
style.
Someone that's been there before, but go in. But I don't know. I'd like to see him out there. He's just a threat.
I think he's the form winger. Marika's fantastic, and there's no doubt about that. But I believe he was the form winger in the last 4 weeks, and he did play against Marika.
Yeah. I mean, Marika will start. He's the reigning Johnny
Osmond. I'd start both of them.
Especially with the player. That's a spicy back three.
That's good.
If you've got Jack Maddox or a Tom Banks at fullback.
Yeah. I know this is going to be one of your threes, Brock, but I liked Angus Pyke's hair.
Yeah.
I liked him riding Queensland on one side.
What you give
and right the other side,
what you give
R-E-D-S.
To be able to put initials in your hair at the moment.
And he scored a try too.
Yeah. And he just smiles.
So smiley.
Smiley, Blythe.
He's permanently
that was
smiley.
Disgusting.
You didn't like it?
No,
Hank, mate, if there's one person with hair.
I'm a winger. Like, you can't be like a hard man up front, getting around, like, trying to be this big tough guy.
Well, he doesn't. He just gets around smiling at people the whole game.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised that Brad Thorne didn't do something about it. Back in back in the day. Sorry about that. Fuck. One of those guys. Sorry, I'm going to drink for that.
Buffalo, Luke.
No, it was left. But
I don't play that.
Back game. When I first started, and Eddie Jones as a coach. When Matt Guido used to have those, you know, like symbols and whatever bleached in the side of his hair, and Matty Henjak, and you know, they were known for having some pretty rank haircuts at that point. When they would arrive to Wallaby camp, Eddie Jones would give them one day to go to the hairdresser and get it bleached out or shaved out, and said no. And same goes for boots as well. If you had anything other than black boots at the time, he said, change your boots or spray paint them, because we're going to be known for our rugby, nothing else. Not stupid haircuts, not stupid coloured boots or whatever. And to the point where some players, you know, sometimes you'd look at moulded or screw in, and you wouldn't, you know, you'd make an assumption
on
which ones you're going to wear. And after warm up, you might change, and they might be white boots or something. And they'd have a spray paint can and just black out your boots just before you
run out. One of the manager's job in the wallet those years was to go around and black your boots before you run out. Yeah.
Wow.
And it'd be playing on your mind. You'd be like, I've got to swap boots, but they're white, I've got to clean them.
The thing about it is, I remember that game of Angus Blyth more for his haircut than anything he did on the field. And that's the wrong thing. Well, see, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. It's really got him.
I've got two. He's worked up over
that.
That's
my rock!
I can see that.
That's my rock!
My other diamond, the return of Noah Lawless. CEO, six weeks out, bang, straight back in, searched up the try from your head and was terrific.
And the difference in the game was probably the fact that he slotted that field goal with, 15, 20 to go? Because if the Reds go down the other end, they went to the corner, which their line-out let them get down. That's my rock, actually, the Reds' line-out. Mm. They kept backing it, but it wasn't delivering for them, so that was really disappointing. But, yeah, Lolasio was fantastic.
I think that's just as much testament to Dan McKellar and the way he's been coaching this Brumby side for a number of years, because they make changes throughout the year, whether it's in the front row, Slipper and CO, or in the back row, they shift that around. Yep. They, you know, there's a bit of a rotation policy there. The back three shift around a lot. It's almost like they've got a structure and a way that they want to play, and he has faith in anyone to step in, fill their role. And it's not about having a superstar that needs to do more than everyone else and carry the team. And it's just about Noah going in there, executing his role, which he did really well on the weekend. Mm. But I feel like Dan McKellar's got that squad and the style of play of the Brumbies down to a T, where any player can just go in and only worry about their role, execute their role, and they're doing it well.
Mm. Tavita Kundrani had a really good game, even though he was snubbed from the Wallabies squad. That was nice for him to have that sort of performance. And Rock's got to be Johnny Pataia, surely.
Yeah.
What happened to your voodoo doll?
I dropped it. Yeah. I dropped it. I had a skin full on Saturday afternoon at Manly Oval, and I dropped the Geordie doll.
No.
Afternoon.
Couldn't I have? Clearly, I've dropped it at some stage today, and I cannot believe he's injured again, Luke.
Yeah. No, it's nuts.
Look, there's been a lot of players over the years that have gone through something very similar. He will get to a stage eventually where he works out his body and they work out his body. He's played a lot of footy. He's done a lot of things in a short period of time. Only 2 years ago, speaking to Sammy Courtney up there, like, they had him in the Reds training program to just keep him training, so they wanted to retain him. They had no intention of playing him. He was just too good. They had to play him. And maybe his body isn't ready for what the rigors of, you know, of Super Rugby and Test Rugby
because
so often.
It's not just the playing every weekend, whether it's Super Rugby or Test. It's the contact session every session and getting in there. And as an 18-year-old and your body's still developing, it's still taking its shape. Like, his body shape now will be markedly different in 5 years' time. You know, like, he's still a growing lad.
As will ours, Drew.
In 5 weeks' time. But, yeah, I mean, it's upsetting for him. And, you know, it's obviously, it's tough coming back from one injury, let alone a series of them. But
he'll get his run, I'm certain of it. Yeah. You know,
how good was his pass to Harry Wilson as well? Scooped it up, nothing
like,
on.
If you only did this, if you grabbed all of his highlights from the last, 2.5 years now?
Ridiculous.
It looked like he's played for 10 years. Like, every game he plays in, he does something remarkable.
And it's a spark, just sort of from nowhere, and then has the amazing skills as well. It's awesome to watch. So hopefully he can just be on the mend and be right for the Wallabies.
Yeah, and get a nice little haircut before he gets back.
Moving on to some of the big stories, South African rugby is set to resume, which is great news in terms of the rugby championship going ahead. We all hope it will. They're going to have a draft on TV for like a Springbok trial match. That's pretty cool.
Look, it's pretty cool. They're going to, like, two coaches going to pick their teams out of 60 players.
But this is a disaster.
Automatically, I'm feeling
so awkward.
Like Kitchoff or someone like that, the last guy standing.
It won't be Kitchoff.
I know, but I was just thinking of a big fat redheaded. But I like Kitchoff, and you're really good. We used to play against each other in Bordeaux and Toulon. But, you know, like, generally speaking, they were the last ones picked at school. I'm digging. This is brilliant. You know, like I feel for whoever it is going to be live broadcasting around South Africa.
I'll watch it.
His last pick.
Yeah, So it's going to be like captain's pick from school. That's what we're getting at. Two coaches.
Which could be good for some.
I'll take Chesley and Colby. I'll take so and so.
Yeah.
Who's the first picked? If you're one of the two coaches, who's the first Springbok you pick?
You have to pick your captain.
Picking Sia.
I'd take
Chesley and Colby.
Yeah.
I'd take Vermeulen.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a great game.
Daniel.
We should bet on who's going to be the first to be picked. Another lunch.
Probably market somewhere.
Another lunch. Holland. We should have another lunch.
Yeah. Pollard's kicked off tight.
I'd pick him normally because he scores a lot of points.
Who's up to
Pollard.
Yeah. Colby. Oh, man. Yeah. That's a great game to play.
He's lighting it up.
He's healing
it.
Yeah, what about his front? He's going to come back and play, is he?
Yeah, he's coming back.
They'll be back.
What about his highlights last weekend?
Oh, ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. The Wallabies coaching gig. Dan McKellar turned it down. Jeff Parling is there. You'd be pleased about that, being the Rebels fan that you are.
I've got to say, I think it'd be great.
I think
he'll be a terrific coach. And I'll tell you why. I spent some time with him up at Terrigal on the way through COVID. And he is a dialed-in dude. He knows a lot. Yeah. He has got such an enormous rugby IQ. I know that you would prefer it to be an Aussie, but he is very, very, very impressive.
Yeah, he's also only coached for 18 months. And we're putting a lot of expectation on a guy who's played till he was 34 and a half and he's, 36 now, and he's coaching. So, yeah, look, I hope he goes well. And to be fair, he's done a really good job with the Rebels.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Line out defence, which is obviously one of the reasons he's been picked. But you would like to think if the Wallabies are trying to climb the way out of where we were after World Cup, that we get someone that's tried and tested. Like, I don't know why Laurie Fisher's never got a gig. Maybe they've asked him, maybe he said no. The other thing with Dan McKellar, it's really interesting, and I went down to a session this year. Dan isn't hands-on with the forwards as much as, say, Roy Murphy or Laurie Fisher, for example. So Dan sort of is a head coach. He's done a fantastic job of overseeing it. So to get a head coach to come in and say, I want you to look after our forwards, which I'm sure he could do, but his area of expertise at the moment.
Different roles.
So Jeff Parling probably is the best hands-on forwards coach at the moment. Yeah. My only concern is he's not an experienced coach.
Mm. Yeah, I also think exactly that point. Dan McKellar's probably not going to take up this role because it's his assistant's job, and he's building his portfolio to perhaps be the Wallabies coach one day. He obviously wants it. He applied for it. And if he's coming in to be an assistant, I know, I think he wants to just keep doing more with the Brumbies. At the moment, yes, they won the Australian Super Rugby, but it effectively is the conference champions.
Yeah.
So if he can keep this squad together, because they're doing good things, and he goes into perhaps next year a full Super Rugby, we don't know what it's going to look like, but if he goes out there and does well with the Super Rugby team and actually wins a fully fledged Super Rugby title, then it starts to put a case together.
Yeah.
Next time the Wallabies coaching job's up for grabs, then perhaps he could take that.
Do you know what I loved about the chat that I did have with him? I said, what's the first thing you educate a kid coming through around playing rugby? What's the first thing you teach him? And he says, I teach him to ask the question why. And I expect that of all my players coming through. I want to be challenged. I want, if I'm saying go two steps forward, come back six, I want someone to say, why I've got to go that many. He likes that to be challenged,
which is often rare.
Talking to Adam Ashley Cooper about when he played under Wayne Smith, and many say Wayne Smith is the best that New Zealand have had. He's been with Hanson, he's been with Henry, he's been the reason why Dave Rennie was successful, or not the sole reason, but a big reason. Anyway, I asked Adam about playing under Wayne Smith at Kobe in Japan, and he said the way they talk rugby, he said they ask questions. The team meeting, the coaches are always asking questions, and he said, as opposed to a lot of the teams I've been in over the years, for 12 years, getting told to do this, be here, do that, he goes, they ask something, they get you to answer, there's constant input, so you're sitting there and you're always thinking.
Okay. Wallabies fly half position, always a much talked about topic, and none more so this year because it's pretty wide open at the moment in terms of it's going to be someone new.
I think we'll disagree here, personally. I think I know what you're going to go with. Yeah.
Yeah, I think James O'Connor will be the starting 10.
Yeah,
I think he's got experience. I think the way that he's matured his game, the way that he's steered the Reds around all throughout the year, he's an attacking threat. But the thing I like about his game, we mentioned it last week, is that he looks for others first. He's setting players up. I've also just watching on the weekend, I just noticed like the length of his like punting. It seems
we've got
an extra sort of almost 5-10 yards on it. He's just going down the middle and he's just hitting it a lot better. So I think also when you look at the inexperience that we're going to have in some of those key areas in the, for lack of a better term, the spine of the team and the nine, the line out, at the back of the scrum perhaps, then you need some sort of experience, especially come calling, making sure you're steering the players and the team around the field. I think you need some experience. I think that's why James will get the nod.
We need to go through probably, you know, 3 or 4 fly halves between now and the next World Cup. I think the best 5-8 for us in 2023 will be Noah. I think by that stage he will be developing, and I thought he's been outstanding in limited time he's had this year. I'd be completely fine if he got the go, but at the same time, I think James is playing the most composed rugby of his professional career, and we've all heard the stories of why he's in that place, but you're now seeing it translate to his on-field performance. So I'd be happy either way, and I'd like to see them both get a crack, to be honest.
3 pyramids, it's the feature. Jock for me too. Yeah. Definitely Tamura at 12.
Yeah,
Tamura and O'Connor, that's a terrific channel. That'd be fantastic.
How do you want to see it managed? We saw so many changes sort of at the World Cup last year from game to game. Are you looking for that to stay the same throughout the whole Bledisloe and Rugby Championship series, or are you looking to give someone like Noah the go at some stage this year?
Look, I don't think we're in a position to say, because we're not seeing how they train, what the combinations are. At the World Cup, you know, it was Bernard, it was Christian, there was changes, and a lot of that was to do with the fact that guys weren't in form and they were trying to find players to play themselves in form. Christian sort of history showed last year he couldn't really play 4 top quality games back to back because of coming off his illness and stuff. So I don't want us to jump around for the sake of it. I think you've got to reward form, and I'm really confused.
I think if you're going to give someone a go, you give them a decent amount of time off the bench. Mm. Don't just let someone come on with 8, 9, 10 minutes to go and try and close out a game or come up with something that's just going to change the game that's pretty much settled in its momentum throughout that 70 minutes. Just if you're going to give someone, if you need someone to have a decent amount of time in the chair, then get them in at the 50-minute mark. Give them a proper amount of time with players around them as well that aren't just sort of... Because often also when reserves come on, they're also coming on at other times where there's also other changes going. So there's throughout the 12 minutes that you might get as a 10, you're having to stop and maybe adjust another 5 times for other substitutes that are going on as well. So it can be hard to settle, especially in that playmaking role. So I think if you're going to give someone a go, whether it be James or whether it be Noah coming off the bench or whoever it might be, give them a fair amount of time so they can actually get some time in the chair.
Look at the Tars example over the last 2 years. Look at how they managed Mac Mason, or they didn't manage him.
Yeah.
They played him out of form, but look at what they, on the flip side, what they did with Will Harrison. He got better throughout the course of Super Rugby because there was no pressure on him. I believe he got told, you're the number 10, you're going to be the number 10 the whole year, go out there and improve and enjoy yourself. So I do like that approach of just backing someone and not feeling like, if I fuck up here, I'm going to be on the bench or I'm going to be out of the squad next week. That's a terrible... For a forward, that's okay because they play with a fair amount of vigour and aggression, but for a player who has to call the shots, you don't want to be playing nervous, you want to be calm. So, I'd like to think someone gets a good run at it.
Hot off the success of last week's random rugby moment. Sean, you're bringing it back for this week.
I sure have, team. Things got dark on the webs for me this week. I went looking for Bledisloe clips, found some Harker stuff, ended up settling on a Super Rugby game from 2016 between the Rebels and the Bulls.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
This is the moment, and I don't know if you guys can remember this. But it is Warwick Gallant going kabam right in the backside of Jan Serfontein. No, I've got a replay here for you, Drew and Lou, no problems.
Thanks.
This is full launch into the rectus maximus. Yeah. I don't know if that's the official term, but Warwick Gallant gets up and goes, sorry, Chief, here it is, another look. Just winding up full force, kabam.
What about him just presenting?
As the cheater approaches.
Here it is, your lovely tackle, Drew Mitchell.
Let's say... I tell you what, that ball nearly went up the rabbit hole as well.
The ball was almost as dark as Sean's internet search.
Kids remember to clear history. That's all I'll say. What a great little random rugby moment from this week. And we'll be back again
next. So that was your Sunday and Monday.
Yep, and Tuesday for the early part.
Right, moving on. Aussie Rugby Show mailbag time. Let's dive into it. It's all brought to you by Extra Hop, Sean.
Visit extrahop.com. That's what I just wanted to say. I had to get it out in that dulcet vibe.
It's beautiful.
I'm already starting to search it.
Yeah, so are my fingers. Speaking of my fingers dancing on the keyboard, our first video question this week comes from an Olympic gold medal winning coach from Fiji, Mr. Ben Ryan.
Hey, it's Ben Ryan. It was my birthday last week and I had a peanut butter chocolate molten lava cake. It was delicious, so is the second one. But any more and I would have felt sick. That's a bit how I feel about box kicking at the moment and the amount of it in the game. I'd love to know your thoughts and how you would utilise it.
That's
bad. Bulvanaka, Mr. Ratu, Penny Ryan. Hates box kicks. Where do you guys sit on it?
Look, I love banoffee pie and hate box kicks also. As someone who was sitting underneath a box kick for most of my career, they're the hardest ones to catch. And I don't know, I just don't know if there's... I think they should be put back in the box and maybe shifted out. There's too much of it. There's other ways to get out of your own end. I think maybe with the 50-20s or whatever they are now, we could start seeing less of them. But otherwise, it's...
Especially the slow ones where it's taking forever to come back.
They do need to change the law.
It's like players like the human centipede. Yeah, like
they need to fix that up.
That's dark.
But they're a necessary evil. I think at certain games you need to do them. Mm. Australian rugby needs to improve at it. Wet weather footy in particular.
I mean, there's a place for it, but just not as much.
Like, the officiating around it. Like you've got a second to use it. Yeah. Everyone's so getting in there.
I'll go back in the day. In 2014,
box kick.
Nick White was the Brumbies halfback. I think he had 150 kicks in the season. They got third or fourth.
Bowl around.
And then Nick Phipps, same year Waratahs win the competition, he had something like 9 kicks in total. So the Waratahs under Checker were not allowed to box kick. They were not allowed to kick at all.
It was Nick Phipps at halfback. Yeah. Checker said, you are not allowed to kick.
Yeah. What about this? The day after 2015 semi-final, I haven't box kicked for 2 years. Like, we were in reviews and the first couple of games early on, Brendan McKibben or Nick Phipps would have kicked it and Checker would go, no, that doesn't happen. Our team doesn't do that. Day after season ends, Check goes to the Wallabies, and then Stephen Larkham is coming to the Wallabies. He's the game plan completely changed. And Nick Phipps says, like, gets told you've got to practice your box kicks. And he's like, that would have been nice to know maybe 8 months ago. I might have punched out maybe 1 or 2 throughout the season.
And he's like, do you know if I kick off my left or my right foot?
Weirdest pre-game ritual or superstition from someone you played with? Always like these sort of questions.
We get it a lot, but there was something over the weekend I saw on one of the social channels, just a little private one with Taniela Tupou, obviously the MVP of the Super Rugby AU. But it came up on his snaps that he was sleeping in a tent, and it was the morning of the GF. And I messaged him and said, mate, why are you sleeping in a tent the morning of a GF? Like, surely there's a nice, comfortable bed somewhere. He's on a decent packet. And he replied to me saying that he'd been doing it for a few weeks and been playing well, so he didn't want to disrupt anything and change his preparation. And so he sent some pics through, and it's like he's got this like Hilux a Hilux, but it's one of those dual cab utes with like a bit of a tray and a tent set up. Like he's got to get up
a ladder.
Like he's up a ladder. Like, I go to the bathroom.
I already feel sorry for the ladder.
Yeah,
straight away.
But
that's a sturdy ladder.
And he takes his dog.
His little puppy's up the top, just up there, just having like, and he seems to be in like the bush. I'd be worried about snakes. Like,
but maybe that's why
it's so tanny. I mean,
it's good
prep. Isn't that just so tanny?
Don't ask questions.
It works for him. So
it does.
Good on him.
But
that certainly surprised me, knowing that the MVP of the Super Rugby AU sleeps in a tent the night before a game.
Okay, thanks to Poulet's Picks on Instagram for that one. I don't know whether that's his actual name, but we'll go with that. Let's move on to another question. Best club rugby player you've seen or played with who didn't break it into the next level? Hoylesy, that question comes from Gus Barnett, also on Instagram.
That's a great question.
Okay, so I've only just thought of this now. I was going to go Dwayne Hare, who ended up having a big career in France, but I'm going to go...
Back rower from Ramwick?
Yeah, back rower, second rower.
Yeah.
Hurt people.
He had spiders on him.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm going to go with Lee Tamaki.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I thought Lee Tamaki, gun, schoolboy, like played, 2-3 years Australian schoolboys, was exceptional. Actually grew up with the Smith family, George and Tyrone Smith, grew up in their house.
Yes.
They kind of adopted him. But he just got stuck behind Phil Waugh at the Waratahs. Then he went up to the Reds, had some injuries. But at club footy, he was there 1 year and just
it was a year that his side, Randwick, won, and it was exceptional at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with Damien McAnally.
Yeah,
yeah.
Back in the Canberra Vikings days. I think he played a few games,
some games
and stuff, but he was just so dominant in that Queensland Premier, because they were coming up to Queensland to play in the Queensland Premier League at the time, and the Vikings alone, they were dominant, but he was just carving up anyone that was in front of him, any sort of counter-attack, he was dominant, and otherwise it would be, look, I don't really know the guy's name, but he played for Eastwood, he was the bus.
Christian Kerasiana.
Yeah, yes. Kerasiana. Yeah.
No, he was just, very good.
Yeah, yeah. He was so just ad-line every day, all day of the week.
The theory when playing against Kerasiana and Sean Byrne was number 10, Sean would say, listen, he's going to run over me, and he'll do it every time, but I'll just trip him as I'm on the ground. So you, Lee was the number 7. Lee, you just sort of jump on his back, and then the next person, you just... So it's basically like, just cop the bus front on, fall over, and just try and knock him down, and he'd be slowing. And so we just had to tackle him while he was slowing, but he was phenomenal, yeah.
We played him one day down at Manly, and Nathan Gray was our centre. He doesn't miss tackles.
No.
And he would chase the bus around.
He never misses the bus.
Fucking come here, bus. He'd be lined up opposite him in a scrum, fucking come here, bus, and he'd just chop him over and over again. Still from Eastwood, Pete Miller. If Pete Miller was born 10-15 years later, he would be a 100-game Super Rugby player and fringe Wallaby, I'd say.
Probably in the last 20 years, top 3 Australian sevens players of all time.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. Freak.
Well, Luke Barrow, big fan of the show, always sending in questions on Twitter. Really appreciate it, Luke. This one for this week. Does the panel have a dark horse to start in Bledisloe 1? We're only a few weeks away.
Oh, we're going to need a couple of seconds here, Sean.
I'll go Lockie Swinton.
Swinton? Ooh,
yeah, that's
Swinton
a good shout.
At 6. Yeah, just to try and match that physicality of the ABs.
Yeah, just to go.
That would be a dark horse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would pick someone from outside the squad that has been named so far. And maybe it's going to be tough asking them to come back and start in 3 weeks' time. But maybe someone like a Will Skelton, someone that's outside.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the coaches' picks to get into the squad.
I'll go with you on that, and I'll go Rory Arnold.
Yeah.
I think because he's so close to the current side, I think Will, being away for a few years, probably won't feel an attachment as much. Rory will probably go, I really want to play for that team because that's where I finished a few months ago.
Yeah, fair enough.
Interesting to see what they do with those two picks that they get.
Two picks, but perhaps even more with over 60 caps as well.
True, there's options. That's it. Yeah. Very good point, Drew. Well, that's us wrapped for another week. Thanks so much for your company. Don't forget we're a podcast as well, so get around that. Hoilsy, you're all across that, aren't you?
No, I'm not, Lou. I'm having lots of iTunes issues, passwords.
It's a good the listen.
Cloud, family
show.
We can't ask them to do it if you're not doing it.
I watch the show. I don't need
you're
to
on the show.
Podcast. I'm not really a podcast.
Speaking of watching the show, one of the comments landed in YouTube last week.
Don't read the comments, Sean.
Don't read them.
I will read them when they involve him. And someone called you a herbra.
Someone said I looked like I was blazed. Yeah. A few weeks before, it said that I'd been in a good paddock.
KFC lines.
The only depth guy knows KFC lines.
Casper the ghost.
I have a confession. I was taking offence to that pie eating comment. I was reading that when I was hungover, and I had 2 pies delivered from Uber Eats. So whoever said that, well, you're on the money, well done, but I'm not a blazer. But don't do that shit, so up yours, whoever you were.
On that note, we'll see you next time.
That's it. Don't forget to subscribe to stay on top of the show with new episodes dropping each week. And remember, if moving pictures are more your thing, you can catch the show at rugbypass.com or via the Aussie Rugby Show on YouTube. Like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, your uncle, you know the drill. See you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.